We'll read tonight in Ephesians chapter 2, please. Verse 12, that at that time, Paul is referring to the days before they came to know the Lord Jesus, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Israel had blessings, these were Gentiles, they had no blessings, strangers from the covenants of promise. No promises from God for their future, having no hope and without God in the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And we will read at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. No hope. And after all, those are perhaps two of the most weighty and tragic words to live with in this world. No hope. I think I understand that those that are facing depression deal with this element more than anything else. There's no hope. Things will never get better. Things will never turn out right. No hope. And that spiral just leads ever downward. No hope. Actually, we have read in Ephesians chapter 2 simply to underline this. That what Paul is saying is that at that time ye were without Christ. And therefore, he says, having no hope. Without Christ, no hope. And really, it doesn't matter whether you are an optimist in life or whether you are given to spells of depression. If you are without Christ, then you have no hope. I'm not encouraging depression, but I am giving a realistic, biblical view. No hope without Christ. This is a problem that goes right back to the Garden of Eden. It is striking, and we love to notice this in the Word of God, that as soon as sin comes into the world, God introduces hope. He tells a couple that are now going to know the tragic results of sin. Disobedience to God has brought them into spiritual death, and physically they have begun to die. And there is tremendous effect as a result of sin that will not only affect the garden where they're working and everything that surrounds them in this world and their posterity to follow them and their body, but they are given this ray of light in the midst of the darkness, that there is coming a deliverer, because apart from that deliverer, there is no hope. This world, if we could only see it in the light of God's Word and of God's purpose, this world is a dark place. Things are out of joint. Creation itself is not as God intended it to be. I remember seeing a picture one time of one of those firebirds. Is that right? You know those sports vehicles with the big funny things? Bird painted right on its hood? That breathes fire out of the exhaust pipe, I think. And there it was. In the junkyard. And looked pretty good to me. Well, a flat tire on the front. But they told me about this because I knew the two young men that were driving that vehicle. Home from a Bible conference. And one of them was sleeping and the other one was nodding at the wheel. And there was a little light rain. And the vehicle began to drift off the highway onto the grass when he became aware of what was happening. But it was just too slippery to bring it back up onto the highway. And right in front of them was an overpass. And just that little triangle in there between the posts and the road and the embankment. And before he knew what was happening, that firebird vaulted up that embankment right through that triangle and came to rest on that front left tire. And it jarred the engine mounting so much the transmission just went whirling. And the engine raced, because it was on cruise, and before they could do anything, the engine was burned out. And then I looked a second time at the picture of that vehicle, and it had just a nice little wrinkle right behind the driver's door. It was worth nothing. Total write-off. Nice, beautiful, expensive, powerful car when it came from the manufacturer. Ruined. Now don't be worried about the boys, they came out of it without a scratch. This world bears the marks of the hand of its sovereign creator, but it is ruined. And the human family bears the trace of the wisdom and mastery of God Himself, the Creator. But you and I are ruined. Sin has robbed us of a capability of enjoying God. Sin has rendered us totally helpless in a relationship with God. Sin has left us without hope. And unless there is Christ, there is no hope. Take Christ out of human history, and human history is going nowhere. You take Christ out of a human's life, and that life is going nowhere, as far as earth is concerned. I want to speak to you tonight about a sinner in the perplexity of the griefs of life, and tell you this, that when you face the difficulties of life, if you have no Christ, you have no hope. My mind is traveling back just at the moment to a waiting room. The television that never turned off, playing down at the far end. And we spent some time in there. And families came, and families went. Going down one night, evening to the hospital, turned the car radio on, heard about a young man in a motorcycle speeding along an exit ramp, going too fast, something happened. He went over the ramp, fell a number of, well, they said feet, but you'd say meters, over the side, down onto the highway beneath, and the radio report was seriously injured, taken into the neurological unit of the Jefferson Hospital, and I thought, we're going to see the family tonight. And sure enough, there they were. I had a deep aching in my heart all the time I spent in that waiting room. Because there were families there that had no hope. I don't just mean they had no hope for the recovery of their loved ones. They had no hope. Life doesn't make sense. Life is one series of tragedies. Life is meaningless. Life is cruel. When there's no hope, because there's no Christ. Ah, but you see, bring a Christian into the very same circumstances, and the Christian has hope. Not necessarily hope that his loved one is going to recover. Hope because he has a God who lives. Because he has a Savior who is with him. Because he knows the God of heaven who has a loving design in life. And I live by this settled confidence, by the grace of God, that I can trust God when everything seems wrong in life and everything is all right. Were peace like a river attending my way? Should sorrows like sea billows roll? Whatever my lot, he has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Oh, I want you to know tonight that having Christ the Savior is a vital reality in life. No Christ, no hope. But let me take you to a graveside scene and tell you about a loved one who is gone. And if that loved one has gone without Christ, he is gone without hope. And loved ones are left behind by the grave. And there is no hope at that grave of parting to say farewell and to realize there will never be another meeting. The parting is forever. No hope in the midst of the sorrows of death. But you see, there are some in the meeting tonight, and I can read your heart to some degree. I can read your eyes. Because you're going back over to the sad moments of parting. That you've parted with a loved one who has just gone to heaven a little while before you. And Paul says, we sorrow not. That's not the end of the sentence. We sorrow. But we sorrow not as others which have no hope. I have no sympathy for men who stand at funeral services and tell us at every funeral, they're in heaven. No sympathy with that kind of thing. It's misleading. I want you to know tonight that not everyone who dies in this world goes to heaven. In fact, if I understand what the Bible says, there are many on the downward road, and there are few that find the narrow road. The majority of funerals in the lower mainland are funerals for souls who have died without hope, no matter what men say on this side of the grave. To die without a moment when you have personally trusted Christ is to die without hope. To die without having been born again, having received the gift of eternal life, no matter what else others may say about you when you're gone, is to die with no hope.
to go into the next world and carry with you your sins is to leave behind you no hope. Maybe it's because I was so far away that this is impressed on my mind. But I was away over in Ireland, and the folks with whom I was staying got a message to me. And they named the name of the family. They're trying to get a hold of you, David, because their son, and they told me the name, has died. He couldn't have died. He was healthy. He was too young. I remember when he was in meetings, one of the nicest young men you could meet. But he pleasantly passed along without Christ. Married. Doing well. Working for Delta Airlines. Roaring down the road toward home. Late at night, he just left work. Something happened to that motorcycle. Into a tree. Into eternity. I would have rather cried than have to preach the gospel that night. Because as far as I know, he died without hope. Broken-hearted parents, because he died without hope. Well, I want you to know tonight, tragically, it happened. Not every person in a Christian home is going to be in heaven. Not every person in a series of gospel meetings is going to be in heaven. Not every person who intended to be saved is going to be in heaven. I have often been thankful to God that I do not know what the Lord Jesus knew when he spoke to a gathering. He could look into one set of eyes and he knew that soul would be in hell. And another, and that soul will be saved. And another, and that soul will be in hell. Wonder how I would preach tonight if I knew there were one person in this meeting who will be without hope for all eternity. There's a Savior who loves you, and he came from heaven that you might be eternally with him. His precious blood was shed at Calvary that you might know the forgiveness of sins, that you might come to the end of life with a certain hope. But not everyone who knows about that Savior comes to the last step with hope. Let me just ask you to launch your thinking into that next world. And think of a soul in the perdition of the gloom of hell. The Lord pictures the man, died, buried, that's all our story tells us. And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. And he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham and he says, that's my hope. I thought that because of Abraham I wouldn't be here. And he cries out to Abraham, have mercy on me. There's some hope. of mercy. There's Abraham. Son, remember that all the mercy you will ever have been offered was offered on earth. And beside all this, what a crushing blow is about to fall. Beside all this, there is a great gulf fixed. And they that would pass from hence, from Abraham's place of comfort to you, cannot. Neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. There is a place where there are men and women with one burning desire to somehow escape the torment of that place. And the message from Abraham was this: no one is ever going to be brought out of the endless judgment to which they descend. There's no hope. Forever and forever and forever, sin will have barred the way to heaven, and sin will bury the soul in the depth of eternal fire, and there is no hope. And you're living one breath away from that eternal world with no hope. Because you have no Christ. God help us. I think of the expression in Acts chapter 27, where Luke is describing for us a storm that will eventually result in shipwreck. And there are words that mean so much to every Christian because we can all relate to this. In greater or less degree, we can all relate to this. When all hope that we should be saved was now taken away, not a soul is going to be saved who does not face the reality, I have no hope. It is not a matter that God is cruel, but God waits for a man or woman to recognize all hope taken away. Because you see, we desperately cling to hope. We desperately cling to our own way, our own ideas. I think I can get this thing straight. I think I can figure this out. If I just keep pounding away at this, it's going to happen. I don't understand why this happened to me, because I know I'm stubborn. But I reached that point very quickly one night in my life. If you had talked to me Saturday night when I went to bed and asked me how interested are you in your soul, I guess I would have told you I'd like to be saved. Anxious? No. One night later, I sat alone in a back room in my parents' home, longing to be saved. And I faced in that night that every means that I thought would bring me salvation didn't work. And I sat there, I will never forget the moment, I think I might tell the story sometime, maybe Friday night, but I will never forget the moment when I discovered I am without hope. Nothing you know is going to bring you salvation. All that you have heard is not going to bring you to Christ. You have absolutely nothing to depend on. You have no magic to somehow bring to the circumstance. You are without hope. Could I just say something very kind and direct, and it may not apply to everybody in the meeting tonight, but it does apply to some. You are making salvation difficult. Because you are not willing to acknowledge you have no hope. Why is the soul without hope? No Christ. No hope. But you see, when a sinner is willing to acknowledge that what God says is true. Now, Mr. McBain, with whom I had the privilege of preaching, he used to tell people that there were two ways to get salvation. There's the easy way and the hard way. The hard way is if you want to prove to yourself that you have no hope. And you will labor and struggle and work and never get salvation. Until you finally come to this, there is no hope. That's the hard way. Or he said, you can get salvation the easy way if you just believe God. No, there is no hope in you. How about I want to tell you tonight, because I will have missed the point of what I want to say if I don't convey to you that the reason you are without hope is because you are without Christ. But if all you have is Christ, you have hope. Certainty. That doesn't mean I hope maybe. Hope is absolutely certain when it comes to the Word of God. And the moment a soul recognizes this, whatever else I may have, I am without hope. And they look away to what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary and discover that the work He accomplished at Calvary has satisfied God. The suffering that He endured upon the cross is all that I require. At that moment, they recognize this. No other hope. No other plea. He took my place. He died for me. Oh, precious Lamb of Calvary. He took my place and died for me. Would you like to leave the meeting tonight? How could you say no to this? Would you like to leave the meeting tonight with hope? With certainty? Leave the meeting tonight with Christ. Anything else, and you will leave with no hope. Grasp what God is telling you tonight. Christ is all you need. His work at Calvary is sufficient. And God is giving you His Word. Like a dying, drowning man, grab the life belt, take the message from heaven, and leave this meeting and live and die and spend eternity with Christ and with hope.